piggybacks into that last week.
So we were able to finish up that little section we were looking at there down to verse number 7, I believe it was. And so we're going to go down and look at a few other verses here this morning if we can. Philippians chapter number 4. And I honestly, I think I've said this a time or two since we've been doing this, I love the book of Philippians. One of my favorite passages, favorite books in all the Word of God, just because of the goodness of its truth. And of course, all the Word of God is good. It's all true. It's all wonderful. But I'm certainly thankful for passages that just kind of jump out at us and help us out time to time. Philippians is one of those passages. So if you'll look with me, excuse me, in chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 6. Kind of pick back up just briefly to give us some context where we're at the other day. It says here, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Now, Paul comes down here in verse number 6. We looked at this Sunday night, so we're not going to spend a lot of time here. But the Bible, when it talks about the word careful here, when it talks about the word careful, it doesn't mean not to do things with care. It just simply means this. You take that F-U-L, that suffix at the end, and bring it to the front. It simply means don't be full of care. Don't be anxious. Have a lot of anxiety. The word careful there has to do with what we would call anxiety today. I heard a preacher one time, he jokingly said, told a woman this. She said she worries and she worries and she worries. Incessantly worries. And he said, "Sister, I read a study one time where it said 85% of the things that you worry about never come to pass." And she said, "Yes, preacher, I know, but it's the other 15% that I'm really worried about." Now, if your math's not too good, 85 and 15, that's 100, and you get a percent. That's where that comes from. I just thought I'd throw that out. Right. So, there are some folks, if you tell them not to worry, they're going to worry. And I want to say this. Romans 14:23 says this: "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." I understand the context of that verse, but the principle is this. If you worry, if I worry, we're sinning. If we worry, we're sinning. Because if it's not of faith, it's sin. I took our little housing situation. I've slept good. I've just put it in the Lord's hands. I'm not going to worry about it. Got so caught up in the study here, the scriptures here, that I've not had to worry with it. It's been fine. I'm just going to trust the Lord on that. Now what happens? "If we're careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God." And that's what we ought to do. The Bible says this: if we do that, "the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's where we're at right now. If we've got a lot of anxiety and we cast that on the Lord, then that anxiety can be swapped out for peace. We can exchange that anxiety for peace simply by giving those requests to God. Now, by the way, I'm just going to throw this out. It's kind of interesting. I like doing word studies. The word there, verse number 7, it says "the peace of God." The word "peace" there is a Greek word that if we were to translate that into English, that's where we get the name Irene from. I-R-E-N-E. So the word Irene in English means peace. Kind of a neat thing. So when you see, if you know of a lady, and that happens to be her name, just know where that comes from. "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So our heart, remember, our heart was our emotions, and our mind has to do with our intellect. So it has to do with our thought process. We can have a sound mind in Christ. I'm not against people who need to take medicine, taking medicine. There are legitimate chemical imbalances that need to be addressed. I can understand that. I know at one time, if you'd asked me that question 15 years ago, I'd have looked at you and laughed and said, "Trust the Lord, period. Throw your pills." I don't do that. I don't do that anymore. I understand that there's a place for those type of things. But I want you to understand that if that is what you are completely depending on to help your mind will never achieve the peace you're looking for through a bottle of pills. It'll only achieve the peace that you're looking at through what the Bible tells us by taking those cares and laying them out before God. And that's what we've got to do to have that peace. Now look at verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren. So, he's closing up. He's closing the book up here. And he says this. He says, whatsoever things are true, and he comes down with things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. And he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, listen to this, think on these things. Think on these things. Now, Paul is doing something that I probably would not be brave enough to tell you to do. And here it is. Paul's telling us not just how to think, he's telling us what to think. He's telling us what is permissible to enter into our minds. One of the great things I want us to understand this morning is this. God knows our thoughts. God knows our thought life. That's why I can lay on the bed and I can talk to the Lord without ever opening up my mouth or uttering a sound, and He knows exactly what I'm saying. You may remember the prayers in the Old Testament. There was Abraham's servant who went after a bride for Isaac. He never uttered that prayer request out loud, simply spoke it in his heart, and God heard it and answered it. You may remember 1 Samuel chapter number 1. The Bible says that Hannah poured out her soul before God. And the Bible says, now Hannah prayed in her heart, only her lips moved. So she mouthed the words of her prayer, but there was no audible sound. God hears every bit of that. God can read lips better than you know, someone who has to read those lips to be able to understand things. God can do that because He reads the words as they're coming out of the heart. He knows that. So the Bible tells us what to think. And I simply want to say this, that apparently, here it is, and I wrote this down, our mind is so vulnerable to circumstances and human emotion that we have to train our minds what to think about, what to dwell on. It's just like muscle memory. Years ago, I used to play golf some. I don't play it anymore. Before I came up here, I gave my golf clubs away. I don't have time for it. It's too expensive. I ain't got enough time chasing some stupid white ball all over the green. I mean, I go hiking in the woods enough as it is. I just don't need to go out there looking for a white ball. Amen, because that's usually where I have it. Now, if you play golf, that's fine. I wouldn't mind playing sometime or other, but I'd have to borrow clubs. Like I said, I gave mine away. But I remember I stepped up to the tee one time, and I hit the ball, and I hadn't picked up the clubs in like a year, year and a half. But there was such a thing as muscle memory. It wasn't a pretty shot. It wasn't a great shot, but it was one of those things, oh, my goodness. So, and it helps a little bit with confidence, so to speak. Now, if muscle memory does the same thing, I mean, as many times, Brother Artie, you could probably go back to Kroger and in your mind just do the same motions you did in your sleep working. Sister, you're cleaning all those instruments, you're taking care of all that stuff. You could go back, you could take care of all those things. I mean, you could do it in your sleep. I mean, you could just go through the hand motions, everything. And that's the way you train. Those of you who know how to type, the most useful class I ever had in high school wasn't math, science, things, it was typing. I mean, it helped out. If you know how to type, that's all muscle memory. Same thing with our minds. Our minds have to be trained. As soon as a wicked thought comes into our mind, it's got to be taken out. Like one preacher said, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop him from building a nest in your hair. So, let me give you a couple things. The devil operates in the realm of our mind. Our mind, listen to this, does not like the law of God. Romans 8:7 says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your mind is not subject to the law of God. That's what the Bible says. Your mind refuses to obey what God says. That's why the Bible tells us to be transformed by the what? Renewing of our mind. Our mind's got to be renewed. It has to be. Your mind is a playground for the devil to put thoughts in to your mind. You can lay there in your bed. You can be asleep. I mean, and even the dreams that you will have are wicked and ungodly. Can somebody say amen? They are. They're wicked and ungodly. Now, not all of them are, but some of them can be. Why is that? Because our mind, even in the subconscious, refuses to acknowledge God's rulership and ownership over ourselves. Let me give you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 down through 5 says this. I want to give you this verse. This is important. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now get this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now get verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. A man does not commit adultery overnight, generally. There might be a handful of cases here and there, but it's not like he leaves a good woman, a good home. You know what, I think I'm going to go out and cheat on my wife today. That doesn't happen. A man does not walk to a bank just on a whim and say, you know what, I think I'm going to hold this place up and do it. He counts the cost before he does those type of things. He doesn't go out and buy illicit drugs or sneak off to do something somewhere behind closed doors or nobody. Those things don't happen overnight. What happens is a seed is planted in the mind, and over time, there's not a lot of weeding and trimming and hoeing that goes on in the mind, and those weeds aren't pulled up in time. The roots grow deep, and because those roots grow deep, it's just like Bermuda grass. You can cut that grass down, it doesn't matter. You could pour bleach on Bermuda grass and it'd still come back up. You've got to, how do you get it out? You wait till after a rain when that ground's good and soft. And you've got to stick your hands all the way down into that grass. Dig it away, dig it away, dig it away, and get those roots and yank those roots out of the ground. Otherwise, it's going to come back and you're never going to get rid of it. Never going to get rid of it. Now, why does that happen? The reason our minds are the way they are is when the imaginations come in, when those thoughts come in, we don't automatically get rid of them. Whenever God spoke to Joshua before he began his work of taking the children of Israel into the promised land, he said this, in Joshua 1:8, I believe it is, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The word spoken there would say that it has to do with the mouth. The way that the Hebrews would meditate on Scripture is they would keep the Word of God literally in their mouth. Now, they wouldn't put a piece of paper in their mouth, obviously. They would take the Scripture, and it's just like taking one of these mints right here. Now, you have a little 3-year-old kid, you don't give them a mint. What do? They crunch it up. You take this mint, you put it in your mouth, and you suck on it. You turn it over. You enjoy the flavor. You allow that flavor to reach all the way around your mouth to touch all those places of sensation that God has given us to enjoy taste on this earth. That's the way the Word of God ought to be. We're to take that Bible and quote those Scriptures. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." That tells me if I keep the Word of God here, doesn't matter what goes on outside, I want to be a tree. If somebody came along and said to me, "We have unearthed unrefutable archaeological evidence that says Jesus Christ never lived," there's too much historical record for me to jump on that bandwagon. Not only that, I can tell you that he lives. You know how I know he lives? I'm not the same fellow that you would have met 25 years ago. I'm a different man. I know Christ lives because he lives inside of me. He makes a difference in my life. He makes a difference in my family. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, my home would not be together were it not for Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus, my wife and I would have gone opposite ways a long time ago. But the Lord told us how we were to live. And when he told us how we were to live, we stayed in obedience to that. We stayed in obedience to that. We looked at each other and said, "Hey, divorce is not an option. We're going to do this." Well, when it comes to push, come to shove, God is the one who helped us maintain that vow. Helped us maintain that. And can I tell you, the only thing that will keep your home together now is to protect your mind from the attacks of the devil. Right now, Some of y'all, I mean, right now, Brother Artemis Lee, as long as you all have been married, the devil would like nothing more to come between both of you, split you all up, and then point fingers to all your family. See? You would, brother, I'm going to tell you would be a bigger trophy than somebody who's been married, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years, something like that. And just because you got a whole lot more to lose. I used to think that, man, once you got older, temptation's going to slow down a little bit. Oh, no. No, these older folks have got a whole lot more testimony built up over time, a whole lot more invested. And if the devil can topple those, hey. I mean, when you go hunting, you just let those little button bucks pass by. You're looking for that 12-pointer who's old, who weighs, 250, 300 pounds. You know, that's the one you want, and that's what he wants. And, brother, I could say that about, I'm not just kind of picking on you. I'm just saying that. I mean, you'd be just a great trophy. I mean, the devil would like nothing more to take. I mean, I've been preaching 20-some-odd years. The devil would love to just come in and just take. I don't know that I'd be as big a trophy as Brother Artie Miss Lily. I'm just a small fry. But I want you to understand that the way the devil attacks is by coming in your mind. That's why you got to be careful. And ladies, I want to tell you this. I'm going to say this. I don't want to be ugly. But you ladies, the devil attacked Eve in her mind, began to question the Word of God while her husband was away. Be very careful. So what are we supposed to do? According to 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. Colossians 1:21 says that we were enemies in our minds by wicked works. Enemies in our minds by wicked works. Because what your mind does, guess what happens? It eventually reaches your fingertips. Now, if it stops in the mind, that's wonderful. I've heard people say this. I've talked to them. You know, the Lord equates a lustful look with adultery. Well, I can just go right on out and do it. Well, you know as well as I do that one has a lot worse repercussions than the other one does. I mean, people who say that are just not thinking clearly. So the point is that our minds have got to be trained, and we've got to be proactive against them. Now, what does Paul say to do? Well, he's already told us. In fact, if you were to flip back a page, what does he say in verse number 5 of chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, he says this, let this what? Mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's already begun to tell us how to think. Philippians deals with your mind. Philippians is telling us how to think. And he says, if these things here, if there be any praise, there be any virtue, think on these things. God knows our thoughts afar off. He understands those. What did he say in the book of Isaiah? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man what? His thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy unto our God, if we will abundantly pardon. Look at it's Isaiah 55. God says that our thought life needs to be subjected to the Word of God. I'm looking at a group of people this morning. I know people I love, people who, I mean, y'all dress nice for church. Everything's, I mean, Mother's Day, it's a wonderful day, great day. Looking forward to a good time in the house of the Lord this morning. But you know as well as I do that there are all kinds of wicked beings floating around this place this morning trying to inject thoughts into our mind that already is wicked and ungodly in and of itself just to cause us to think wrongly. So what are we supposed to do? Well, Paul's already given us some things to think about, Philippians 2:5. And if we could just concentrate on some of these things that Paul has told us to. Say, preacher, I hear this preaching, what do I do? Take that verse with you. When it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, it's talking about the Lord's voluntary humbling Himself to the will of the Father. If every one of us, men and women in this building this morning, would simply concentrate on that one verse all the rest of this week, it would revolutionize our Christian life. I'm telling you. So how's that, preacher? That means that I'm going to put my wife first before me. That means my wife will put me before herself. That means we'll put our children ahead of our own comfort. That means our children will put themselves second place to take care of the comfort of mom and dad. We're all living in humble service to one another. If we would concentrate on that, it'd make a world of difference in our lives. We live in a selfish generation. Why are we selfish? Because that's the way we're wired. That's the way we're wired. So if we could just simply concentrate on those things, that would help out. Now, let's look just briefly before, we got about five more minutes here before we finish up. But if you look at verse number 8, the way that I think of these is I think of these in terms of opposites. That helps me to understand what I'm supposed to think. So look with me, if you will, in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. All right, if you come down to the last of the verse, think on these things. So if it's true, think on these things. Well, what is the opposite of truth? A lie. Falsehood. Deceit. Can you think of lies and falsehoods that are kind of spouted out on the news media? News, you know, whether it's the newspaper, you know, as they used to call it down home, the local scandal sheet would come out. You go to the news, go to the mailbox and pick that thing up out of that. Yeah. Don't think on those things. Can I tell you, and I'm going to throw this out, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but if you spend more time with Fox News than you do with the Word of God, you're going to get depressed. If you spend more time, and I just say that because most people in here are conservative, that's usually the first one people go to. It doesn't matter if it's CBS, ABC, CNN, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be absolutely depressed. Therefore, read the news that never changes. The thing I love about the Bible, one of the many things I love about the Bible, it doesn't matter whether the sun's shining or whether it's raining cats and dogs outside, the book still reads the same. Doesn't matter whether my heart is up in heaven in the clouds rejoicing or my heart is cast down low and I feel depressed, I don't feel like I got a friend in the world, can I tell you the Bible still reads the same. That's what excites me, is because I've got a sure foundation that, pardon my bad grammar, it ain't never going to change. I like it. So, the opposite of truth is a falsehood. Think on things that are true. Meditate on Christ for a little while. What did he say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul tells us that John tells us no lie is of the truth. It's either black or white. There's not a shade of gray. There's not any of those things. Can I tell you that this idea of our mind is so important that if we've got instructions on what to think, we really need to take it and look at it hard. Typical fellas, typical mind. I don't know how you women think. I don't know. I'm not a woman. Of course, if I knew that, I could write a book and I'd be a multimillionaire. Amen. All right. But I'm going to tell you how a lot of times men think. Men think in terms of sports. Not everybody. Or sporting events, whether it's football or basketball or baseball. Well, some folks don't do football, basketball, or baseball. They do archery, muzzle loader, and rifle. I mean, that's just kind of what they do. There's three seasons for every man, I guess so. Right. Now, some folks think a little differently. We may think in terms maybe of, like I said, a sporting event. Some folks, it's musical instruments. It's good, you know, for being able to play some. Some folks, it's cars. I know fellas, their whole life this blows my mind. I know people who do this. They'll take lawnmowers and they'll soup them up to where they can drive 45 miles an hour. Knock yourself out. I go get in my truck and we can drive 60 on the road and I'm happy as a, you know, coon in a corn crib. I'm okay with it. It's fine. I'm not worried about that. So, but what I'm saying is you can get caught up on hobbies. You can get caught up on things. I'll get on Facebook. And I will see the number of preachers who are so concerned about the stinking first-round draft picks or who signed with the University of Tennessee or what. I couldn't care less. I don't see how in the world you got time for all that. I don't understand that. Some folks do. Maybe they can do it. I can't do it. I know this much. It's just hard for me to do what I can do. And you know, if you try to be the pastor you're supposed to be, the preacher you're supposed to be, the husband you're supposed to be, the daddy you're supposed to be, I don't have time to do a whole lot of that other stuff. I really don't. So, anyway, so whatsoever things are true, if it's true, think on it. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with archery, muzzle loader, and rifle. Not a thing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with football, basketball, baseball. It's in its proper place. Our kids played sports when they were younger. I know some of y'all have kids in sports. In other events, that's fine. But when those things start to take the place of your thought life, That's where you need to take these verses into account and bring your thought life into captivity of the obedience of Christ. So, he talks about that. And he says this, whatsoever things are honest. What's the opposite of honesty? Okay, dishonesty. Dishonesty. One thing I cannot stand is dishonesty. I don't like it. Don't lie to me. Please don't lie to me. I can't stand that. I mean, if you hurt my feelings by telling me the truth, tell me. I would rather know where I stand with you than to wonder, am I really getting the full story? You hear people say things, and they give you little tidbits here, little tidbits here. Am I getting the full part of the story? Am I getting the full story? I don't know if I'm getting the full story or not. Just tell me straight up what's going on. Well, you don't need to know everything. Well, if I'm the preacher, tell me as much as I need to know. So I can deal with the, I can deal with situations. But whatever you tell me, make sure it's truthful. Be truthful. Would you have me stand up here and say, the Bible says that those folks who are unsaved die and go to hell? Or to say, just do the best you can. Y'all are lovely folks. And God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, if you want to watch Joel Osteen, well, I wouldn't want to watch Joel Osteen, bless his heart. The only thing I like about Joel Osteen, I'd like to go to his orthodontist. That's about it. Get some white teeth. Him and Jimmy Carter, I'm telling you what's the truth. Got the teeth. Amen. Y'all didn't think I was old enough to know who Jimmy Carter was, did you? Amen. Amen. So, what's the opposite of honesty? Dishonesty. What's the opposite of just? Unjust. Unrighteous. If it's just and if it's righteous, let's go with it. If it's unjust, let's get rid of it. Don't go that direction. Paul's telling us what to think about. What I'm going to do here is we'll pick up with here next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, and finish up verses 8 and 9, and then we'll hopefully here before the end of May, mid-June, we'll finish up Philippians and then pray about where to go on that. So nobody in the world, I remember hearing one time when I was younger, I watched a cartoon. I can't remember the cartoon that it was right offhand. But it was going back in time talking about Hitler's mind-washing of the German people back in the 1930s. And Hitler raised himself up. He played, you know, just a whole lot going on. He played the current social situation, economic situation. It was a perfect time to rise up and take power. But not only did he come in and tell people where to go, what to do, he told them what thoughts they could think. That's the kind of person that he was. And that's what dictators do. They tell you what thoughts to think. Well, Paul's not being a dictator, but our Lord, to whom we owe allegiance and subservience, our Lord has told us what thoughts to think. So let's take our minds and allow our minds to be the fertile soil of the Word of God to bring forth fruit unto His glory. Amen. Father, please take what's been said this morning and speak to our hearts today, Lord, out of Your book. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.